Kingdom living is the theme, and it's been the theme throughout the Sermon on the Mount. And the will of the King is the key to understanding kingdom living. It's understanding to understand the kingdom of God, what it means to be in the kingdom of God. Now, many voices claim to speak for God. And God gives us in verse 12 of this passage a way to test whether they are coming from His will or just from man's will. And this is what verse 12 says. I'll read it again. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So this is the test. This test is often called the golden rule. We've heard that a lot, the golden rule. And it can be put into this kind of a question. Is what they are telling me human friendly? Is what people are telling me human friendly? I'm going to say that a lot today. This passage that came before verse 12 is actually where verse 12 comes from. It's talking about prayer. That's the last sermon that I gave about prayer, how God answers prayer. That's a very human-friendly passage. And God sets a standard here by verse 12 to conclude what He was talking about prayer. Because that's how God acts. He acts in a human-friendly way. And it also introduces the next passage. It's like a transitional sentence, but it could be, and that's how I read it. I read it along with the rest of the passage from verse 13 down. It helps to introduce this message about the title of my message is Attractive Distractions. Attractive Distractions. God's will for us is human friendly. In everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. Now that is really profound. If you think about it, God's standard for kingdom living is based on our humanity. That's an amazing thing. It's based on human friendliness. It's based on how we should behave as humans. That's profound. That's the standard of kingdom living. And that's what God teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. But wayward humanity does not always teach that. And God gives us the golden rule for kingdom living. The golden rule, that's what a new name for it I'm going to give to the golden rule. The golden rule for kingdom living. He gives that to describe these distractions and why they are not friendly, why they're not human friendly. So we begin to look at these distractions, the distraction of popular pathways, the distraction of popular pathways in verse 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. God's pathway to life and kingdom living is narrow. Because it's exclusive. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's very, very narrow. And that's very exclusive. But humans are still chewing on some bad fruit from the Garden of Eden. A fruit of moral independence, where they decide on their own what's right and wrong, what's good and bad. And there have been multitudes of ways that have been invented by humans that seem to be good, and yet they are a distraction, and it makes God's way seem narrow and hard to find amid all these distractions. The doctrine of reincarnation is one example. I'm just going to use this one. There's many, many doctrines. I'm going to take this one because it especially is popular. The doctrine of reincarnation is one example. And it's a basic doctrine of Hinduism, but it's become very, very popular in the New Age movement and among New Age believers. And this is what it teaches. this is the thing, and I ask the question, is it human friendly? Is this doctrine human friendly? Now it teaches, what reincarnation teaches, is that our personal identity as humans, in other words, our individuality, is an illusion. It's an illusion. The Hindus call it Maya. It's illusion. It's not real. What we think we are individuals. We think we are just a separate identity, a separate personality, but we're not. We're really not. We're just part of the big whole, and we're amalgamated into that. But our minds deceive us with Maya, with illusion. Now, we might have lived hundreds of lives, thousands of lives before this one, but we have no memory of it. We have no memory of all these other lives that we've lived. And when we die, we come back as another person or maybe an animal. But when we come back, the life that we have known is totally obliterated. It's gone. It's forever forgotten. But something is not forgotten. Something passes on. And that is called karma. The karma is passed on. And here's what karma is. Whatever we did, right or wrong, is carried over into the next life and determines our new life status and quality. In other words, this person I can't remember did something that makes my life in the situation it is right now. Now, these teachings are not human friendly. All of them. They're not human friendly. Every single one of them. And individuality, as far as we live and as far as we know and as far as you go in India with the Hindus, right in where they're living, individuality is very, very important in real life. Not in theology, but in real life. It's very, very important. In fact, individuality is part of our humanness. It's part of our humanness. It's the way we understand things. Human love is based on the identities of other individuals that we can have a relationship with. And human grief comes when those relationships are separated through death. All of those things are very, very human. And I want to see my mom again someday. And my dad. And I want to see their face. And I want to hug them. And I want to kiss them. Resurrection, the kind of resurrection the Bible teaches about, gives me that hope. Reincarnation obliterates that hope. That spells death to our human hope. But resurrection gives it to us. And the idea of karma explains why a caste system developed in India. Here's the explanation. People in the lower castes are there because of their moral failures in their past lives and other lives. So they deserve no better than they're living right now. No higher status. They deserve no benefit. Because they did something in their past life. They don't even know about it, but they did it. Okay, so that's what karma has done. But humans, I'm talking about people who live in India, in the midst of Hinduism, and in the midst of this teaching, they will argue the point in court. If they get called into court and they're accused of crimes that somebody else committed in another life, and they say, I don't remember ever doing anything like that. Yeah, but in your other life, they did it, so you're being punished for it. Nobody in the entire planet will stand for that in court. Because that's not just, is it? Not human justice, but remember, this teaching is human unfriendly. It's not a human friendly teaching. Everything that is human within us stands up and says no to that. That can't be right. That's to have that forced upon us, this reincarnation, and never remembering who we are, and never having our identity, never meeting our people again that we love, it's not human friendly. The idea of Maya. That idea of a Maya that everything that we see and everything that we know, everything that we learn is an illusion. That's an illusion itself. That is not human friendly. God presents us with reality, with truth, and He's not to delude us by anything that we see and anything that we learn about. And the people that we meet are real individuals with real lives and real rights. All the rest is human unfriendly. That's what happens. God's ways bring us to kingdom living, but man's ways distract us from it. And there's another distraction, the distraction of persuasive people. Verse 15 through 20. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are they ferocious wolves. And Jesus goes on to say, test their fruit. A bad tree does not produce good fruit, and a good tree does not produce bad fruit. So test their fruit. False prophets have a human quality that can be used for good or for evil, and that quality is called charisma. Charisma. Now, the definition of charisma in the dictionary is this: the ability to inspire enthusiasm, interest, or affection in others by means of personal charm or influence. Now, charisma attracts us, but it says nothing about a leader's moral character. And that can go for false prophets, and that can go for politicians. Charisma doesn't say anything about the real quality of the person. And the false prophet Jim Jones, you know the story. He had charisma as a Bible teacher, but eventually the Bible fell to the wayside, and Jim Jones became center stage and all of his teachings. Well, people became so distracted by his personal charisma that they followed him in suicide in 1978 in the Jonestown massacre. And only 9/11 surpasses the number of civilians that were lost in that episode. That was so awful. It was so destructive. And Jesus warns us to test the prophets. Do they produce human-friendly fruit in their ministry? Do they produce human-friendly fruit? Do they preach the Word of God or their own ideas? God has told us that humans are meant to live upon the Word that proceeds from the mouth of God, not the mouth of other humans. Do they try to become your conscience so that if you go against them, your conscience seems to be feel bad that I'm going against the teachings, but not the conscience on the inside being given to God? The conscience belongs to God. It does not belong to humans. It belongs to God, and it belongs to the individual who has conscience. That conscience is precious before God, but it can be deceived, and it can be stolen away by a false belief, by trust in a false doctrine. Do they encourage independent spiritual growth, or do they encourage dependence on the teachings of leadership within the group? Do they want you to grow spiritually on your own, or do they say, you can't grow spiritually on your own. You have to be with us to grow spiritually on your own. You cannot do it. You know, one of the things that I feel, I don't want to just be giving you the Word of God. I want you to go and help you understand this so that when you read it, you'll say, wow, so many blessings in the Word of God. And you can grow on your own. If I disappear and Eschaton Village Community Church is gone, you can continue to still grow on your own. Of course, you should always try to meet together, to fellowship together, because there's not just strength in numbers. It's the fellowship of the body of Christ manifests who we are. But Jesus, that the Holy Spirit was given to us to help us to reform groups or leave them if they don't change from from unsound doctrine, human unfriendly doctrine. Jesus wants us to leave them because He's given us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. He says, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have said. We need to have Jesus' teachings in our heart. The Holy Spirit helps us keep them there. God became human in incarnation. And that's human friendly. But it doesn't work the other way around. For us to put people in a place of God and listen to them as if they are God, that is a false prophet. And false prophets, their doctrine is as spiritually lethal as the cyanide-laced Kool-Aid that happened in Jonestown. There's one more distraction that's very close to home, and I'm going to close with this. And it's the distraction of personal performance. Verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Our own good works for God, things that we do for God, things that we give, things that we, services we render, charity and so on, volunteer work, all those things can distract us from kingdom living. And I tell you why. We like to think well of ourselves, even if we fall short of God's standards. We still like to feel okay about ourselves. And we will actually hide behind excuses and everything, but God doesn't have any excuses. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, he says, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us fall short. I fall short. Everybody falls short. And you know what? It would be very, very human unfriendly to stop there. But that's not where the verse stops. It goes on and shows God's will. And here I'll read the verses together. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. A lot of people just read the first verse and they don't read the second one. Don't feel bad about yourself. Feel good about what God has done for you who have fallen short of God's glory. The golden rule is God's own standard. God, if you put it this way, if God was in our shoes, He would want us to do that for us. And He expects us to do that for others. And that's why He's given us this golden rule of kingdom living. It's His own standard. And we are made in His image. And so it's a human-friendly standard. We're happy about this good news. We're happy that God blesses us. We're happy that He forgives us, aren't we? Well, God expects us, if we're happy about that, to bless others, to do to others as we want done to us. Yes, we want the blessing. Yes, we want forgiveness. Then we need to give forgiveness to others when they have sinned against us. We need to bless others the way that God has blessed us, freely and graciously. And He expects that, to bless others as we've been blessed by Him. Don't be deluded. Unfriendly doctrine. Don't be deluded. There's lots out there. Reincarnation and Maya and all that kind of karma, all that. It's not. That's just one little area. There's all kinds of doctrine. If you look closely at them, you'll find at the base. Oh yes, they add a lot of things that are from the Bible or something true. But at the heart, it's not human friendly. It's not human friendly. And it's destructive. And don't be destroyed by false teachers. There are lots of teachers out there. A lot of them on the radio programs. And they sometimes predict that the Lord's coming back 3 or 4 times. They predict the date, and the date changes, and so they have to predict another one. That doesn't recommend them very much for teaching the Bible. And then don't be distracted by your own achievements. But I've done so much for God. Surely He's going to bless me because of that. No, He blesses you because of His grace. We've all fallen short. He's blessed us. Because we are in relationship with Him through Christ. We don't have to prove ourselves to Him. He loves us. All we have to do is open to His love. God's ways, His ways bring kingdom living, but human ways distract us from it. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for these notes of warning that You give to us not to be distracted from kingdom living. And Lord, we're about ready to finish this series on the Sermon on the Mount. They have been wonderful. I pray, Father God, that You continue to give us insight about living the kingdom life down here, because You are our King. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.